Two shortish poems for you. The first one's called The Night of San Juan. San Juan is a celebration on solstice night where people go down to the beach, light fires, and the idea is to jump over the fires, and then after midnight you go into the sea, and it's great fun. The Night of San Juan. Solstice sky, elemental yin-yang, water and fire, the burning of the past, the washing of the day in tear-soaked seas. Welcome, rejection, the pinnacle past, days dwindle ever quicker to longer nights, hopes and dreams in leaping flames, and after midnight, bathing magic of sated desire, burned up in fire, to be waded away in breaking dawn, up as the cock crows, lark spark fresh, sunlight's blessing, rejuvenating, living in natural moment and celebrate the shortest night, fire and the rhythms of moon-swung seas. And the second poem is very, very short. It's called Complaint. Shut the window. Mute the cries of ecstasy. Drop down the shutter as the feeling soars away. The neighbours must not be disturbed. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have Linda, please?
Another short poem, Simon. This is from the Paris sketchbook. The sketchbook's getting thicker and my poems are getting smaller. But it's a sequence within a sequence. Consider the philosophy of fine art. And it's thinking about the salon, the Paris salon, where they accept the academic work. And then, of course, there's the famous 1863 Salon de Refuses. Mary, is that the correct accent? Salon de Refuses. So you have the likes of Manet and Renoir and Degas, that their work was not accepted anymore by the salon, so they had their alternative salons. But consider the philosophy of fine art. It is the way the light and shade stare back at you, precise, taut. It is how the hand guided yours into gilt frames, museum glass with no reflection. Undid what you wanted to say, like the black moon you wanted to paint, the window at your throat you wanted to climb through.
Jack Shortland, please.
Nice. Thank you. This is a sonnet, Climbing Trees. Membryantus is an ancient myth based on a strange phenomenon with trees. A tree responds when children climb and mingle limbs, absorbing sap and energies, and aromatic gels, exultant moods, exuding oily suppleness with ease. So if, as children, we spend time in woods, we'll be less likely to get joint disease. Hence the Cockney rhyme, elbows and knees. You doubt me now, you're right. I think you'll find there is no membryantus. No beliefs, a lie, yes, all of it, the myth is mine, sorry. But let my trickery not mask my plea. We need to let our children climb a tree.
Yeah, lovely. Next we have Tom Hanley.
I was born in East Limerick, out country in East Limerick, and I grew up near my uncle Jack, who was a farmer. This is a shepherd that's on eBay, a short story about my uncle Jack. When I was 11 years old, I'll be with it. Like all Catholic boys, I got my confirmation. I should have said boys or girls. Also, I was going to say good Catholics, but looking back all those years now, it didn't matter, good or bad, you got it. There was lots of nice things about it. But a few days before, and a day or two after, you were made feel special, which wasn't something that was ever wasted. Anyway, to come to my point for the confirmation, one got a present of money from aunts and uncles and friends of the family. It was a tradition. Anything from half a crown to a pound. I'm sure my age now. You'd feel like a millionaire, you would. Sure, you wouldn't have seen money since your first communion that you got at 7, which was 4 or 5 years before. The money, the new suit, even if it was a hand-me-down, it was new to you. As I was saying, the attention. I think that was the best of all. The attention, as it was scarcer than the scarce money. But there was something bigger and something that I didn't understand until I was much older. And my Uncle Jack said I wouldn't, and he was right. Uncle Jack was different to the ordinary men at that time. After milking the cows and delivering the milk to the local creamery, he would always call to the shop for the paper and 20 cigarettes. Come home on the horse and cab, have his breakfast, which is performed like nothing sharp of a ritual. Even the tapping of the boiled egg would be said nowadays to be poetry in motion. After breakfast, he would place the paper in a way that it caught the most light it could in the dark kitchen. Light one of his gold flake cigarettes in a way that it seemed only his right hand would work. As he didn't have to look at the opening of the box and lighting up a cigarette, because his eyes never left the paper. Going back to what he said to me, I will explain. You see, he didn't give me a half crown or a pound, no. He gave me a 20-pound note, with instructions to put it in the post office until I finished school, which most people did at that time at 14. Now, he said, let me explain. I have given you your legacy from me. No more will you get or have I to give you. Uncle Jack, I can't thank you enough. But I have given you something else, he said, with an air of wisdom in his aging voice. I looked at him, confused, trying my best to come up with the answer. He left me struggle like someone trying to swim in a pond of mud. I will tell you, he said, 20-pound note is like a map of life, the life that is before you now. Now I was even more confused. You see, he said, you can spend it in many ways. It can be spent cautiously. It can be spent foolishly. It can be spent cautiously. Foolish. It can be wasted. With thinking, it can be made good use of. If you don't spend it, it becomes worthless. To make it better, you have to think in the same with your life as before. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And next we have Megan Cronin.
Pressure, hence, yeah. So just a small bit of background to this poem. I'm a strong believer that nobody's body image should be dictated or influenced by anyone's opinion. And this poem is based, you know, like, try not to curse on the mic, I don't want any recording of me cursing, but you know, hell to body shaming and anyone that does it, essentially, in a nice way of putting it. But I tried to memorize it off by heart, so I'm going to attempt it. I'm just going to put that there as I will look at it. But I could look at it. Okay, let's give it a go. Let them try ridicule your thunder thighs. Let them try tear you down with their eyes. Let them try cut you into bite size pieces. And they'll try feed you with their lies. And with those people, you'll cut ties. Cause you don't need those girls or those guys. You're still standing despite their countless tries to instill feelings of bodily despise. But your body is one you idolize, not one for them to criticize. And for that, you will not apologize.
Next is Sinead Goldsmith. She gone? Oh, okay. All right. Next is Carmen. Carmen. Oh, that's just outside.
Hello. Just a little introduction. I'm Spanish, not native English, so sorry for my pronunciation and forgive my ignorance. So I started to write poems recently, and I published them online on an online forum platform, whatever you call it. There's a big community of poets. So there was this prompt from a poet, Love Me Like Ordinary Saints. So I just chose the lake because of the alliteration. So it's love me like a lake. Love me like a lake. Cover me in the blue mist of your eyes. You mirror all my soul's desires. Let me dive into the dark of your deepest depths. Hunting your monsters, stealing your treasures under the moon. Freeze your pale face, fragile features, staring at imaginary seas, silently still. So I slide across its surface, secretly searching for your shy smile. Crack and crackle, ice breaking, lift me down, bare and breathless. Fresh water wash the scratches of my skin as I leave the thorny, safe shore. Wet, bleeding, I stagger, tapping your silver foam dagger. Build a bed of seaweed and moss, like an old house bedroom. Smells of damp and even thin white sheets feel moist. Don't want my gun to drag on the field's green grass anymore. So drown me deep once and forever in your love.
Walsh.
This is for everybody who's fallen in love with the wrong person and just about lived to tell a tale.
That's everyone.
Introduction to chaos. You scolded me for touching you, however apt, interrogating darlings over a cracked glass. Choose where associated, excluding all others, not sleeping on the job, intending ridicule. A God-given secret infects with intimacy. Neither drinking nor smoking classes demented. Exercising drunken excuses over coffee. Beloved alternatives twisting a knife. Sweet and clean declares your intended. Wireless communication are essential here. However primitive is a call for contention. Publicly affectionate a kiss of death. Knowing much as is let on, pointing self. Exterminating the problem as materialized, dying alone as is recently a welcome act, Erasing possibilities before they ever realized. The intrusive cigarette misses and hits, knocking it off, an insult worth draining. A lifetime of ridicule condensed in an evening, soaking preferment in a parallel estate. Slipping through Darling's, wounded again, in cold embarrassment, dissuaded from spite. Acting nothing over coffee, defeated at will. Mere ridicule is phases upon the confidant. Thank you.
Next we have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks a lot. This is about a guy called Bernie Madoff. It's M-A-D, but the Americans call him Madoff. And I was looking at Richard Dreyfuss doing a wonderful job on a two-day docu drama on him. And I wrote this a long time ago, but I tweaked it, and it's called Money, Money, Money. Bernie made off with their savings and became the Prince of Thieves, a formidable fraudster whom no one now believes. Not loud or ostentatious, he espoused the quiet life. A pillar of the Jewish faith, with Ruth, his steady wife. Not a social animal, he played down a nervous tic. Stuttered when he sometimes spoke, was anything but slick. If you want something for nothing and believe in Wall Street sham, these two vital ingredients helped Bernie work his scam. Mastermind his biggest con, no one could ever dream. Hoodwink all his trusting friends for sums that were obscene. At the Palm Beach Country Club, where the rich and foolish play, cloaked by exclusivity, Bernie stalked his prey. His Ponzi scheme was clever, as returns were fairly low, paying a steady dividend. How would his victims know? The credit crunch undid him, since his clients called for cash, not statements about earnings from their slowly dwindling stash. Now this white-collar criminal will end his life in jail. His sons and wife disowned him. There's no fear that he'll get bail. Woo!
Thank you very much. Next we have Ali Brandon.
This is disenfranchised adverbs. So give me the incantations of demagogues and docile dogs and the old crooners that love nothing more than the lie and the bomb for how much they have in common. So throw a stagnant stare amidst the swimming pool with all its tides and fulsome bribes that cannot help but confide in order to hide the four-faced liar's true side. So run and run, forget the sun, sedate the gun and its bullets, for they will be of no use when the sun does finally get around to killing us. So all of us, yes all of us, not so as in whatever, but so as in what's coming next. So we killed our mother, Dad. What shall we do now, he said. We should bring her back to life, son, should we not? Why did we kill her in the first place, Dad? Good Ubermensch above, there is no time for my son's worthless folly. Teach me, please beseech me. I don't know what to do now that my access to other has drowned beneath my heel. Something, someone, some, so. Give me the incantations of demagogues and docile dogs and the old crooners that love nothing more than the lie and the bomb. For I will love the lie, if you please. I will love the bomb. I will kiss your knees.
Cedric, please.
Yeah. She was his son. She was his friend. They knew they would part eventually, but it didn't matter. After all, today's separation was temporary. She hopped into the car. He did not. She turned around, faced him, and waved back, smiling bright like a sun she was. As the train departed, he followed, keeping pace with each step, like a moth flapping toward a fleeting fire in the evening. He would never catch up, but was captivated, motivated to push forward, accelerating to keep up with the train. She, guilty witness, smiled brighter in admiration. That spark made him lighter, hasten further, produce effort beyond limitation. Each step felt as heavy as his entire body, each muscle of his leg burning, elongated, consuming his ever-shortening breath. He was at his limit, and time was still. He would never reach the speed of that light, but finally had his fill. The key's end was the barrier, was the physical barrier that stopped the shooting star. The burnt-out boy stood there, breathing out the fire that spread from his legs to his lungs. But it did not matter. A warm smile was etched in his memory, so he watched the train carry her away in the sunset, and he smiled back at it.
Thank you. Can we have Billy Ramsell, please?
Acknowledgements. The author would like to thank the editors of the following publications in which these poems or versions of them originally appeared. The Alpha Male, Brewery Bridge, Crinus, the Dagenham Quarterly, Echo Location, the Ferry Point Review, Grief, Hilda's Obsessions, the Infirmary Review, Just Like It Was Before, Klepto, Lazy Fucker, Magnanimity, No True Road, Oyster Haven, Poets for the War, Queen Takes Rook, Check, The Review of Pub Arguments, Some Girls Wander by Mistake, Brenner's Cross, Until, Vatic, Wid, The Yearbook of Constancy, The Xanadu Times, Zither.
Thanks very much. Can we have Julie Field, please?
Thanks, so it's back to school for us poor and fortunate teachers.
Yeah, you have a job. You have a job.
Homer! So I wrote this shop rap. I wrote this poem about a boy I taught last year, a beautiful boy. It's written as Gaelic, so I'll give it a sketchy version in English first. So it's called Unit. He's obsessed with Batman and Toy Story 3. Well able to discuss it in fine detail. Quote it in the appropriate accent. 9 years old, the eldest in his family. He can't read or write. But he's a clever boy. Who, with an awareness that his younger sisters have reading skills that he doesn't have. This upsets him, I read it on his face. Fantastic parents, made of love and patience, awaiting a call from the HSE. In the meantime, he struggles to express himself. As a teacher, it's my job to get to know this child. I have to read him, I have to write him, create a sphere of communication, nourish it. When he hits me, craziness in his eyes. I understand it's himself he's trying to hurt, himself he's trying to blame. The darkness of Gotham City swallows the class in the special unit. His father and mother sit opposite me, small chairs, still in their coats, filling in the blanks, creating a plan to banish the tension, made of love and patience, awaiting a call from the HSE. Éanad, Tosha Togel a Batman agus Toy Story 3, Bra Ogleton a Mjonson Ri a Flay, na Frozy a Rawls and Las Cui, namely in the Dish, and then a Shinnis a Clown, ni Leav a Ge, na Shriev, agus Buch a Clishta ta An, ah, nian, gul Shkillin a Lehorachta, eg Drifforach a Oga, na Chul a Ge, Curran Shisho a Shtachir, Lemi Jera Aige, Tish Mahori den Sko, Dienta the Grog is fine, Fosig Fanachter Glech, telephone on HSE. Idran Dolin, Eg Strachel Gilehul, Ehen Chorinul. Marvun Thor, Is a impostatogum, no Ahna Chorabosha. Ni more dome a live, ni more dome a scrive. Sphere commersoja a chahu adre. Nor a vinci the Mavula, Rula Bula Nahula. Tigim shagul shagirdi ehien a gartu, ehien a lochtu. Durachidis Gotham City, ex sloga an ranga, sonean it specialta. A ahir is a vahir, sita os mahoramach, chahirach of yoga, kulti fuls urha, eglina stach na barni, plana hochru, tianis of anu, lawn the grog is fina, fulsig fanacht.
Telephone on HSE. That's beautiful, thank you so much for that. Can we have Saeed Mariachi, please?
How are you? So I've been away for a while, but in the time I was away, I started writing a bit of poetry. So I was living in Vietnam, but at Christmas I spent in Dalat, and I met some, I kind of was there by myself, and I met some man in a bar, and he was talking about abortion rights and women's rights and stuff in Ireland. He really got me thinking about it. And he kept buying me Baileys because he felt sorry for me. but I had to, it was just before I got on the bus home to Saigon, so it was like 5 hours in a sleeper bus. And I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, thank you. but by the time I got, and I started thinking about home, by the time, I think the Baileys kind of kicked in a bit, by the time I got onto the bus around halfway there, I just started thinking about, you know, women arriving in Ireland, and then all of a sudden my mind went to the Virgin Mary in County Mayo having an apparition, well, the apparition. So it's called Appalling Carry On in Light of Women's Rights. The Virgin Mary stood in a field in County Mayo with her feet pressed against the cold, earthy soil and blades of frozen glass protruding between her white marble toes, while the skies yawned and quaked above her, and all the time she stood there wasn't offered a single cup of tea. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to read one more that I think so my friend Owen Murray used to read here a lot, and I had to write, it was Mother's Day the next day and I was again on a train and I hadn't anything for my mother the next day. We were all leaving the house and you know the way moms get about all their kids leaving. So this one's called Your Heart at a Distance. And I really think it echoes Owen. He wrote a poem that was very much about the nature of love. Right. Your heart at a distance. A heart knows nothing of distance. It can tell when it misses a time or a place or a person, and it will tell you over and over again. It will reach out to every corner of your body, reaching as far as a heart can reach with empty pulses that echo. Because a heart is an eyeless organ that won't stop searching. Your heart is foolish, your heart should know better, your heart will never quit, Your heart knows you best, so go easy on it. Give it space to search hopelessly and question endlessly. Allow yourself to understand the heart doesn't think or measure or estimate or weigh. It is not an instrument of mathematics. And to know distance, you must see it. But your heart is blind. It is not a careful thing, but a reckless statement that to feel a distance is to love over and over again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we have three poets left. Can we each have Pedro Creedon? What's that, Max? Liz, yeah, Max Creedon. Max Creedon, please. P-E-D. Someone take a look. This handwriting is not very clear. I'm so sorry, whoever it is.
I can't make good sense of myself.
Phil Shaw.
Paul Simon.
T. Is anyone here with Creedon's last name? No.
Max.
It's
just
Max. She's not here. That's not Max.
Max is not here.
Not here.
Okay. So sorry to anyone being Creedon, but next we have the joke collection with Murad and Kiran. So, see what they got.
It's actually the joke collector, not joke collection. Seems like the greatest hits album that the joke collector made sometime, ages and ages and ages. One World, the Unknown Hotel. Battling the Duke. Thousands for education, but you can go and die for free and represent your racist father and that beloved country in the same empty war. They can't remember what they started for. Head up and shoulders back in your flag draped casket. Passion, pride, and youth let go like an elastic. Your mother prunes her flowers in her hanging basket. She says she treats them like her child. She says her son had badges. He got an honorable mention in the local newspaper, in those pages where they've got freedom to sell, next to an advert saying you can stay for free at the Unknown Hotel. I spoke to my friend in a letter just the other day. He spoke about death being wrong and he told me what to say. He said, where'd you get an idea like that? The US of A, where they sleep six of their own each and every day. Stripes are drenched in blood and the free land makes them pay for the honor that they're born with, the promised glory for which they stay. The free men, they come flocking to the game of show and tell to teach their pretty women's children how to spell names of heroes in their history, guardians of the well where water creates thirst and power and the smell, and you can sense it in the hallways of the Unknown Hotel. From the righteous pages as he looked down at the faces of all ages, and in his opening address he said, allow me put this idea inside your head, that I the preacher, I the pastor, look to my one and only master, and the end is coming fast. And to the little girl that passed, he stooped down low to ask, precious darling, dressed in white, when the wings of love take flight, can you see a devil? Can you feel hell? She said, I can hear him laughing in the lobby of the unknown hotel. And his teeth were as black as the sky at night is blue and silver and looking at you.
I watched it for a little while.
Together with band-aids and patched up. She aches to be safe, neath a scented bower, not a thorny roses, but soft orange blossom flowers. And then when they say they can't take much more, they'll arrest you with a touch. And then when you think you can't bear the touch, they'll reach out, you can't resist them for another touch. Heart is battered black and blue. You can match a mood board in a twin set of two. You could find the inner child in you, in a pair of little children that matched with mental age size two. So, to cheer you up there, Rabble, do Tinkerbills. I wrote for that.
What were
you? See, Tinkerbill boats one time.
Max,
Max, we've got
one more time.
Okay, one more
time.
I'm sorry.
So one more
part for tonight. Christy Parker.
Thank you. I've been here for a while. Normally, in practice when I used to come up here before, I've been here for some time now, I would kind of do something comedic, something twinkle of that, but this before I go home and catch them. Well, we're making a bit different tonight, I think. this could get grim, okay? You want to leave now? Go. Don't come up to me after saying you fucked up your life. I'm fed up with people doing that. I suppose we've got to do it, eh? Can I get out of it now? I burnt the toast again last night. Sorry, let me start again. I burnt the toast again this morning. I touched his brain. Disaster struck, gave me no warning. Two wholemeal slices, high in fibre. Not much in salt, or sugar either. Not much in salt after my drink of two raw eggs dissolved in milk. Then when I heard the toast was rack, I turned to find it popped up black. They popped up black with edges charred, not crisply bronzed, but deadly hard. I contemplated, should I risk it, or play it safe and have a biscuit? Yeah, have a biscuit, or instead evade despair with buttered bread smeared with layers of rhubarb jam, or cut my losing streak with ham. For a losing streak, I fear I'm on. My aunt dropped dead this week just gone. Last night I dreamt I'd seen her ghost. In her way, I guess, she too was toast. She too was toast, but that aside, my mum fell down the stairs and died. The whole street claimed I heard the crash. Meantime, my toast has gone to hash. was turned to ash like my dog who chased a rabbit through a bog, but reaching an electric fence, he paused to pee. Now he's past tense. Yeah, he's past tense, and those two slices plunged me into further crisis. Divide of breakfast celebration, crust fallen by this cruel cremation. This cruel cremation, so intent on hindering my nourishment, must never be allowed to win, I vowed while reaching for a tin. On reaching for that tin, I seared an opening where respite appeared, and eager to dispel the lot, I poured the beans into the pot. The beans into the pot I poured, my heart grew light, my spirit soared, and bringing forth my source of strife, I buttered them with carefree knife. With carefree knife I spread proteins off smothered toast with steaming beans. Those sad and gruesome black remains now flewed and tasty orange grains. Flewed and tasty orange grains that on my jaw made welcome stains. And swamped by mouth in strong hot tea plucked me from the day's debris. I burned the toast again this morning. Disaster struck, gave me no warning. But rescue came by trusted means with a pot of tea.